بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، قد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. وقال جل جلاله: ما صابك من حسنة فمن الله، وما صابك من سيئة فمن نفسك. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تقوم الساعة حتى يقبض العلم وتكثر الزلازل وتظهر الفتن. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء اكرام، respected elders and brothers, if amongst the prophecies and the predictions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was that as we get closer to the final hour, and as we approach the last day, the day of Qiyamah, we will witness the emergence, the prevalence, and an abundance of difficulties, strife, trials, tribulations, chaos and anarchy. What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam termed as fitan. And we find in various ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke of this topic of fitan. Turmoil, trials and tribulation. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تقوم الساعة, that the hour of Qiyamah will not come, حتى يقبض العلم, until the ilm of deen is snatched away from the hearts of people. وتكثر الزلازل, and Qiyamah will not come until there is an abundance of earthquakes and other sorts of natural disasters. وَتَظْهَرَ الْفِتْنَ, and Qiyamah will not come until trials, tribulations, difficulties, chaos and anarchy becomes the order of the day. And subhanallah, my dear brothers, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum heard these words from the blessed lips of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They took it to heart and they passed it on to the ummah. And the Muslims over the past centuries and generations, they read this ahadith, they heard this ahadith, they studied this ahadith. The ulama and the muhaddithin, they commented on this ahadith, they explained this ahadith. But we are in that period and that time where, subhanallah, we are living out and we are witnessing the realization, the materialization and the fulfillment of these prophecies of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And these fitan, these trials and tribulations which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted and foretold will happen on various levels and in different ways. That is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, minha sigharun, for amongst these trials, tribulations and difficulties, some will be a bit minor. It will be a bit easier for the person to manage with it and cope with it. Wa minha kibarun, and you'll get those calamities that will be absolutely severe, absolutely intense, to such an extent, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us that towards the end times you will find a person who will walk past the grave, and he will go to that grave and he will begin to roll over that grave, and he will begin to shout out and scream out, Ya laytani kuntu makana sahibi hadha al-qabr. Oh, how I wish that I was in the place of the inmate of this grave. And it will only be because of the strife, the trials, the tribulation, and the difficulty that this person is going through. So these fitan, these difficulties, these hardships, these tests will come in various levels. But the common thing amongst all of them is that they will cause discomfort, they will cause unease, they will cause difficulty in life of the person. There is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likened and compared these trials and tests, ka mufitanun ka riyahi sayf. He compared it and likened it to the very, very hot wind that blows during the summer in the deserts. That wind that comes is very discomforting, very uneasy. It makes it very difficult for a person to cope. So my dear brothers, this fitan, these trials, these tribulations will come in various ways and on various levels. So today all the difficulty you see in the world, in the different parts of the world, the chaos, the anarchy, the trials, the tribulations, and the utter madness that's happening around the world, these are all part of the fitan, the trials and the tribulations which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam foretold and predicted. Now my dear brothers, we in this part of the world, there is one particular trial, tribulation, difficulty, which is impacting upon us very, very severely. It is hitting us and hitting us hard, severely affecting us. And that is the issue of the rampant crime and the extreme unrest and uncertainty that we are facing in this country. I mean, I will not be exaggerating if I say that the rampant crime in our country is reaching a level that is bordering upon lawlessness and anarchy. And I don't think that I will be wrong in saying that no person sitting here, or very few people sitting here, can safely say that never in my life was I not a victim or a witness to some sort of crime, or some sort of crime, whether it be petty or serious. We all have somehow or other been the victim, or at least been witness to some sort of crime or the other. Just recently, just last week or so, our National Police Agency released the stats for the crime for the past year, commencing in 1st of April 2018 till end of March in 2019. And wallahi, my dear brothers, these figures are absolutely staggering, alarming. The number of crimes that were recorded in this 1 year period amounted to 2,001,000 acts of crime. 2,001,000 acts of crime in a 1 year period, which counts for approximately more than 5,400 crimes and offenses per day. And on one hand, there is some good news that this figure is down from the previous year, which stood at 2,009,000 crimes per year, for the year. But the bad news is that the drop in the figures is because the petty crimes have gone down. And remember, these are only the crimes that have been recorded. Those that have not been reported and not being recorded, only Allah knows the number. Only those that have been recorded. So the good news is that the figure is down. But the bad news is that the violent crimes, the more severe crimes are on the rise. So be it the hijackings, be it the bank heists, the cash in transit heists, all of these are in the increase. Murder was up by 3%. Murder, which is regarded not only in Islam, but in every religion, every society, as the most heinous crime. This is on the rise. In the past year, we witnessed more than 21,000 murders, which accounts for approximately more than 57 murders per day. And this puts South Africa firmly as the country with the third highest rate of crime in the world. So my dear brothers, and this qatal, this murder was something which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also predicted. He said, close to Qiyamah, there'll be abundance of harj. So Sahaba said, Allah's Nabi, what is this harj you're talking about? He said, al-qatlu al-qatl. It is a senseless killing, senseless murder. Allah's Nabi explained to him that a time will come, la yadri al-qatil fi ma qatal, wal al-maqtul fi ma qutil. That the time will come, a person will murder somebody else without any justification whatsoever, and he will not even know why murdering this person. And the victim, the person being murdered, he will not know why he's being murdered. He will not find any reason that justifies this person murdering me. So this thing now is on the rise, crime is on the rise. So my dear brothers, this crime that we are facing in this country, which is nothing short of an adab unleashed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to be blind not to see that. And likewise, the instability we are facing in this country, the other difficulties we are facing in this country, is a problem, a fitna, a trial, a tribulation, which we in this part of the world have to cope with. Now when it comes to problem resolution, generally people who have to now try to resolve some problem, or a community has to resolve some sort of problem, there are two main things that they have to first ascertain and find out before they can find how we can solve this problem. Number one is that they have to dig beneath the surface and look what really is the reason for these problems. What is the reason for this problem? And who are the main culprits? Who are the main culprits, the main role players behind this problem and this difficulty? And after that has been gauged and ascertained, then they can now provide a viable, a workable, and a proper solution to try to solve this problem. So if we have to take these two steps and try to apply it to the problem that we are facing and try to analyze the problem that we are facing, and we ask that what is the reason for this rampant crime that we are facing, then we read in different articles and in our social gatherings people will be talking, and maybe the crime experts will have something to say. We'll hear about the spiraling unemployment rate in this country. Some people may blame it on foreigners, some may blame it on the syndicates, some say this is filtering down from government level. Allah knows best. We are not here to say whether it is correct or incorrect. But what I can tell you and what I can share with you is that we as Muslims have to understand that this world we live in, there are two systems in operation. There are two structures, two systems in operation. One is the manifest, the outward, the vahiri system, that which meets the eye. So a person, may Allah save us all, a person is being held up. He sees this criminal, this person holding up, him up, as the source and the reason and the cause for my grief and my trial and my tribulation. So there is one system that is in operation in this world. And the second system and second structure that is in operation in this world is the batini, the hidden, the unseen system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is operating from behind the scenes. What we call as sunnatullah, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَن تَجْرِ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجْرِ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. There is no change, there is no altering in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, whatever happens, whatever we see happening, is only the outward system. Behind that, there is divine irada, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to understand these two systems properly, understand it by way of an example. We have these light fittings, we have the light bulbs, and then we have the light switch. So the young person who's still learning about life, he sees a person puts the switch on, and the lights can come on. He puts the switch off, and the lights go off. Again, another person puts the switch on, he sees the lights coming on, he puts the switch off, he sees the lights going off. So this young person will be fooled into thinking that the thing that causes the light bulb to go on and off is the light switch. But we would know better that the reality of the matter is it is not the light switch that is causing the light to go on and off. Rather, it is the current, the electric current being delivered that causes the light bulb to switch on and to switch off. Is the light switch without that current is useless, turning on and off 1,000 times and nothing will happen. Likewise, my dear brothers, this was happening around us. These criminals that are causing the crime, these are only the switches. Behind them, there is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala's system is very, very straightforward, very, very uncomplicated. What goes up, comes down. What goes up, comes down. When people are doing good, when there is large-scale good taking place, obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking place, and these good deeds now rise up, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. These good deeds now rise up to be recorded in the scrolls of good deeds. Then Allah ta'ala sends down, when good goes up, then Allah ta'ala sends down good conditions and favorable conditions. But when evil and wrong is taking place on a large scale, when more evil is taking place than good, that is the time when we are at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the war of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very different from the war of the countries of this world. The countries of the world, when they declare war, then by means of the fighter jets and the battle tanks and the ships, that now they wage war with somebody else. But وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Every single thing in this world is the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when any nation violates the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deploy his various armies against his people. So these criminals that are perpetrating the acts of crime are merely the switches which Allah is using. They are merely the tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using to inflict upon us the azab that we are facing and the strife and the calamity that we are facing. And it's clearly borne out in hadith. وَلَا يَنْقُدُوا أَحْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَحْدَ رَسُولِهِ إِلَّا صَلَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِّنْ غَيْرِهِمْ فَأَخَذَ بَعْضَ مَا فِي إِدِهِمْ. Or كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. That when people begin to violate and break the pact of Allah, the pact of obedience that we have with Allah, the pact of obedience that we have with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they would do this, then Allah ta'ala will unleash upon them such enemies who will come, they will rob, they will hijack, loot, plunder, and steal away from the Muslims their wealth. So my dear brothers, on one hand we may be trying to blame the criminal elements for the various crimes that we are witnessing, but in reality it's a case of the victim being the real aggressor. The victim being the real aggressor. Because we have sinned and we have turned against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our actions have become evil. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is causing this to happen to us. And my dear brothers, when I say because of our deeds, I mean the deeds of us Muslims. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't care much about the kuffar. The kuffar, because of their kuffar, they are natural enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can do no harm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What they do or what they don't do doesn't really bother Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala wants, Allah ta'ala will send his azab upon them. And if Allah ta'ala wants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them respite until the day of Qiyamah. But we Muslims, when we begin to violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is when we are asking for trouble from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as long as the Muslims are doing righteousness, they are practicing good deeds, they are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the ill deeds of the kuffar cannot harm and they cannot dictate the conditions that prevail amongst the Muslims. Now we read of the various Anbiya alayhi musallatu of the past in the Quran Sharif, be it Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, and the various Anbiya. Allah Ta'ala speaks of their stories. The believers were righteous, were good people, they had obeyed the messenger, followed the messenger. And the kuffar, they denied the messenger of the time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the good deeds of the believers, Allah saved the believers. No harm, no difficulty came to the believers. And Allah Ta'ala put upon the kuffar, or struck the kuffar, as what they term today in modern warfare, surgical strikes. Allah Ta'ala exterminated the kuffar, and the believers were saved. But when the believers, when you and I get involved in bad deeds, in evil deeds, and we begin to violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala brings down and sends down such fitan, such trials, tribulation, and such azab, that every single person gets swept away. So the believer and the disbeliever gets caught up in azab. The criminal, the wrongdoer, and the righteous person, both of them get caught up in his azab. That is why our mother Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Oh Allah's Nabi, would Allah send down his azab upon us, even though there are few righteous and pious people amongst us?" Allah's Nabi said, "Yes, na'am, idha kathur al-khabuth." Yes, Allah Ta'ala's azab can still come, even though there are righteous people amongst you. This will happen when there is a large scale of wrong taking place, when haram is rampant. So a person being a direct victim of crime does not necessarily mean that this person did something wrong. It could be a case that this person is merely a victim of the crimes of society. So my dear brothers, from this we clearly understand that it is our sins, us Muslims, our sins, our wrongs, that has caused this fitna, this trial and tribulation to be unleashed upon us. And in particular, the particular crimes that I'm referring to, you know, in Quran Sharif, likewise in Hadith Sharif, there are many, many examples, no time to go into them, where Allah Ta'ala, the azab he gives, the punishment he gives, is very matching and very befitting to the crime. Like for example, Allah, the Hadith Sharif tells us that people, when they hold back their zakat, you hold back, Allah holds back. You hold back zakat, Allah holds back the rain from the sky. There are many other examples like this here. So many times the azab, the difficulty, the trial is very matching and very similar to the crime being committed. The sin being committed. There was a few years ago in the istima we had in Escort, maybe 2002 it was, where Mulana Farooq Makki Hafidhahullah came. And he gave a bayan at the istima. And his words, he kept on saying, Jaysay yaqeen, waysay azab. Jaysay, waysay, waysay. What this means is that the wrong conviction and those wrong things which people are engrossed in, those things they are focused upon, the wrong that they are focused upon, from that very same avenue and a very similar way will Allah Ta'ala's azab come to them. So today, my dear brothers, the biggest weakness that we have is Allah Ta'ala, Allah's Nabi also predicted that close to Qiyamah, the fault and the downfall of the believer will be wahan. And what is wahan? Hubbud dunya wa karahiyatul maut. That people will begin to love dunya. The Muslim will begin to love dunya. Fall head over heels in love with dunya. Fall madly in love with dunya. And as a result for their love for dunya, this now fills their hearts with greed. And this greed will now motivate and prompt the believers to engage in haram and to use haram means to acquire wealth. So be it interest, be it riba, be it fraudulent deals, be it embezzlement, be it not paying their zakat, or be it eating up the inheritance of others, all of this have become rampant today because of our love for dunya and the greed it has created. And as a result of our love for dunya, from the very same avenue of dunya, our wealth, our cars, our homes, our fear for them, that something is going to happen, from the very same avenue, Allah Ta'ala is now unleashing azab upon us, to such an extent that today a person, alhamdulillah, drives a very, very nice car, but that person has become paranoid, always looking over his shoulder, does not know when calamity will strike. So my dear brothers, the problem that we are facing of crime today, it's very easy for us to point a finger at other people and other elements. Really, the true cause, the true culprits, and the true role players in this calamity that we are facing is none other than us, the believers, who have lost our way. And once we have understand the problem, my dear brothers, then we have to try to find a viable and workable solution. Now again, we ask people that what is the solution to the crime? So we have found in the recent years that many, many steps have been taken to try to combat the crime, be it the formation of CPFs, neighborhood watches, and the various other things, be it the alarm systems, and the gates, and the doors, and the locks, and whatever other things we have put in place to try to combat the crime. Alhamdulillah, whatever means are available, we have to try to do it, to try to combat the crime. I admire those people who are involved in crime fighting, sacrificing their time, many times sacrificing their lives, for the safety of other people. May Allah reward them. May Allah Ta'ala give them more strength. But my dear brothers, all of these things here will not solve the problem. The only time the problem will be solved is once again we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If at the time we are putting pen to paper and signing that haram deal, at that time if the alarm bells of our heart do not ring, then I'm sad to say the sophisticated alarm system we have in our home will not solve the problem. And if we leave the door of our lives wide open for shaitan to enter and to intrude into our lives, then sad to say, my dear brothers, the gates and the doors and the boom gates that we have will not solve the problem. And if we are overstepping the perimeters and the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and falling into haram, then my dear brothers, sad to say, the perimeter walls that we have, this will not solve the problem. And if we are not prepared to bring our lives back onto track and keep track of our sins and our wrongs, then sad to say, my dear brothers, the fancy tracker system we have in our car will not solve the problem. Quran, Sunnah and history proves that as long as the Muslims were righteous, the Muslims were doing good, the Muslims were pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is stability, there is ease, there is a comfort, and there is safety and immunity from difficulties and hardship in this world. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran Sharif, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ. O believer, O Muslim, O insan, what reason do I have to unleash upon you such punishment if you are a true, grateful, believing servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala says that Allah Ta'ala will not destroy you. Allah Ta'ala will not inflict harm upon you illa whilst people are muslihun, whilst people are those who are trying their hardest to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to rectify their ways. In one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Hazrat Adi bin Hatim al-Tayyib. He told him, "Oh Adi, have you seen a place called Hira?" So Allah's Nabi, "I have not been there, but I've heard about it." He said, Allah's Nabi told him, "Oh Adi, if Allah Ta'ala gives you long life, then you will see the time that will be such safety, such security, that a woman who lives in Hira, which is approximately 1,700 kilometers of Makkah Mukarrama, you will see a woman who will be able to travel herself all the way from Hira right to Makkah Mukarrama and make tawaf of Baytullah, and she will have absolutely nothing to fear." Hazrat Adi bin Hatim said, at that time I was quite surprised. Because this entire route was known for its theft, its hijacking, and the perpetrators were the very same criminal elements of my tribe, the Thai tribe. They were those people. I found it a bit far-fetched, a bit difficult to understand, but it says true to the word of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Islam spread far and wide, and the believers became true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah brought such safety, such security, such ease in the world, that a woman could easily travel from Hira right to Makkah Mukarramah, and she'll have absolutely no worry, and there'll be no fear for the security of this woman. So my dear brothers, the conditions that prevail in the world, and in particular in our country, the crime that we are facing, the true culprits are none other than ourselves. And the true solution to the problem, my dear brothers, is for us to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give up a life of haram, especially the haram in our wealth. Give it up, and we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring ease and comfort in our lives. Just quickly, my dear brothers, I'd like to divert a bit, something a bit different, but on the same lines, and a bit more serious. You see, alhamdulillah, my dear brothers, we in this country, for the past maybe 2 or 3 decades, we have been living, we as Muslims, a Muslim community, we have been living in relative ease, comfort, alhamdulillah, from the side of the government. I don't want to sound too political, but on the side of the government, alhamdulillah, there's not been many policies whereby the Muslims have been marginalized or against the Muslims. We have been free to practice our deen. There's very little or no impediments from the side of the government. Allah Ta'ala make it like that. But my dear brothers, as time is going along, things are changing. There's a gradual shift in power, and we see certain people coming to power, rising up, who are still uncertain about what is their agenda and what will be their policy and their reaction towards Muslims. And added to that, my dear brothers, we find that amongst the masses, there is rising discontent, unhappiness. That is why we have seen this rise of xenophobia and protest action taking place. There is a rising discontentment amongst the local people. And added to this, my dear brothers, South Africa is ranked as the country in the world with the highest levels of disproportion in wealth, distribution of wealth. So on one hand, we have very wealthy people, and on the other hand, we have those who are living below the breadline, those who are very, very poor. And speak to those out there, and they will tell you that all this put together is a recipe for disaster and a time bomb that is waiting to explode. May Allah save us, my dear brothers. But if it explodes, Allah Ta'ala knows what will be the condition. Allah Ta'ala in Quran Sharif over and over again, He has called us, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the nation of the past, and He calls us on to take heed from what happened to the people of the past. And Allah Ta'ala says, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. O people of understanding, people of intelligence, take a lesson from the punishment given to other people, and do not commit the same wrong yourself, lest you also be subject to that punishment. Time is running out, my dear brothers. Very quickly, in the recent past, we have examples which we can relate to. Mawlana Khalilur Rahman Sajjad Domani, Daum Barakatuhum, a great alim of India who has visited our country, he says, when the riots and the genocide took place in the Gujarat province in the year 2002, in the area of Ahmedabad, he said, at that time, I came and I tried to arrange a meeting with that person who was the chief and the main person on the ground causing this genocide. It's too gruesome to go into the detail of that genocide. So he says, alhamdulillah, I managed to arrange a meeting with this Hindu person to speak to him. And so when I met him, he said, oh, my brother, I'm meeting you not to tell you what wrong you are doing, but rather I am meeting you to ask you what wrong have we Muslims done that is causing you to do this to us. So he says, the person is very happy that you are the first person asking me this question. He says, if we drive on the road from Surat to Ahmedabad, about a 40-kilometer stretch, you drive this road, and what do you see? You see, mashallah, nice Muslim homes, palatial Muslim homes, nice masjids, nice madaris, nice Muslim facilities, Muslim clinics. And on that very, very same street, you find we, the local people, the masses, we're living below the breadline, living in shacks, barely anything to eat. While Muslims are cooking big, big deals of food, and throwing away food, we can barely find half a roti to feed ourselves. So this created a bit of resentment in our hearts towards the Muslims. And then the political party, the ruling party, came to us. They clothed us, they provided for us, gave us education, and gave us a lot of sharab, a lot of wine to drink. And a person is the slave of the hand that has fed him. So they told us, when we need you, now we will use you. And then they gave the command that start this genocide and begin to massacre the Muslims. And as I mentioned many dear brothers, the details are too gruesome, too gory to mention. But Maulana has told this person, I thank you for telling this and bringing this to my attention. Then he said, I went to these areas and I gathered all the Muslims. And I gave them a bayan. And I spoke to them about giving up their lavish lifestyles. And also change your entire mindset towards the locals of the area. That these people are also human beings. And now extend to them a hand of help. Extend to them a hand of help. So alhamdulillah, people began to cry and they took to heart what they said. And they opened up clinics and other facilities whereby they were helping the local communities as well. So my dear brothers, there's a lesson for us. Before such things happen to us, there's also try to firstly understand our purpose for living in this world. We have not come into this dunya for dunya. We have come into this dunya to make our akhirat. Our objective is not dunya. Let us try to change our attitude. Really, my dear, we are at the crossroads. We have major decisions, major lifestyle changes that we have to make. Major decisions that we have to make. So let us first try to change our ways and treat people fairly. Every single human being, no matter the color of his skin, no matter what religion he may be ascribing to, every single person deserves respect. It's not right for us to treat a person subhuman. A person working for us does not entitle us to call this person names, to run down the person, to belittle the person. So my dear, time is well over. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding. Allah ta'ala make us realize our folly, our mistake, before it is too late. And Allah make us realize that the real reason for our problems and difficulties is not what the criminal elements are getting up to, but rather we are at fault. So the next time we think to ourselves that it is too dangerous to go out for Fajr, rather we should be thinking it is too dangerous because I don't go for Fajr. Allah give us understanding.